Hi there, I'm K-Town, and on this edition of Mysterious Radio.
About 2012, I started to deal with geoengineering, and especially it started with damage observed with plants caused by nano-sized piezo crystals coming down with the rain. That was kind of the entry into this broad field of transhumanism, because this is one component of various transhumanistic concepts that actually aim at interconnecting the human species with the central artificial intelligence. And officially, this is kind of science fiction, but actually, it's airborne, and we already change as human beings into something else. And from there, it went like on one hand, studying the medical issues, the medical problems coming with these technologies, understanding how it works, and also rooting it back to our older history. This is what I've been doing for the last couple of weeks. Actually, I checked on the Egyptian history, because the things we're facing today started actually the moment when we were expelled from paradise. This was the first step into the direction of becoming a cyborg race.
Oh, wow. A lot of people are going to be shocked to hear you say that. There's a lot to talk about. I want to first start off by talking about chemtrails. There may be some people that don't know what they are, so I don't want to assume. Or, you know, some that have just looked up at the sky and just saw cross sections of a mass aerial dispersal of some sort. Looks like smoke that takes hours to dissipate. Can you tell people what chemtrails actually are?
Yes. That is quite easy. If you look for the term chemtrail, every word has an origin. The word chemtrails comes from the U.S. Air Force Academy. In the 90s, it appeared for the first time. And there, if you check the school books of the Chemtrail Academy, you find the chemtrail class. And this is all about introducing chemicals into fuel additives or directly into the fuel to create different types of nanocrystals in the exhaust stream of the jet engines. This is what you learn kind of when you try to find out where the term comes from. Now, the different applications, so there are a number of military applications of this chemtrailing technology. And the most common one is radar range enhancement, 3D battlefield monitoring. So basically, they create a reflective plasma background in the sky to run 3D radar systems. This is kind of the most important thing. This also connects to the rocket shields run by the big powers we have on the world, Russia, China, United States. They all do it. This is state of the art, and nobody can do it without having this particulate plasma as a reflective background and as a carrier of radar waves. So this is basically the nanoparticle part. And the most discussed topic in public actually is solar radiation management. But this is not the purpose it is done for. The purpose actually is military technology on one hand, and as a secondary effect, some of the particles sprayed for the military purposes also play a major role in technologies utilized by the intelligence community for this is what they call smart dust. It's for surveillance, individual and collective mind control. So basically, it is the same radar grid as produced by the military community is also utilized, the same reflective background is also utilized to pick up signals radiated by technologies that assemble within the human bodies. This is what we call the self-assembling nanobots. It's like micronized technology that assembles within the body and creates a technological interface to our consciousness. And this is what they can pick up on the intelligence community radar screen. Kind of every single human has his own DNA signature that is measurable. And they can find out, basically, they can find out where you are, and they can read what you feel, and sometimes even listen to what you think.
Harold, where did this technology you speak of, sounds scary. Where did this technology originate?
This is a very, very good question. Actually, I don't know. I know about the public records. The first one who went public with his quantum dot patents was Bell Labs, the major developing company for military and intelligence community technologies in the United States. They kind of went viral with quantum dots. Quantum dots are heavy metal, organic heavy metal compounds that basically convert microwave radiation into signals readable by a bioorganism. This is the core component of the technology. And in the 80s, 82, when they started, it was just still a chemical that was given into the body. But they realized it's too toxic, so they started to look for all kinds of containers or like microfibers to contain the quantum dots so that the body doesn't get in contact with the poisonous chemistry. And this is basically where you can see the technology developing, at least for these, we call it photonic plasmonic antennas, these hollow fibers filled with quantum dot dyes. Another type of technology that is utilized is basically what we call a neuronal nanobot. This is an artificial neuronal knot that basically assembles from one piezo crystal and some kind of artificial nervous tissue, utilizing barium, strontium, and iron instead of copper. This makes the nerve sensitive to electromagnetic radiation. So normally a healthy human cannot detect waves or feel or interact with waves from coming from outside. But if you have this artificial neuronal net in your body that is based on iron and barium and strontium instead of copper, then you can sense electromagnetic frequencies, so they can basically make you read their signals as a human, sense their signals, and the other way around, the nerves also radiate things to the outside. So this is the second interface we know. And this actually is an earlier technology that started in the 60s, and the first big test when it basically, as a field study, was brought out into nature was what we know as the mad cow disease in Great Britain. Mm-hmm. Mad cow disease. It was kind of an experiment that they took too far. So it was not just getting sensitive to electromagnetics. The entire nervous system of these poor cows completely collapsed and they had to be killed. They just overdid it. And now it's kind of in tune with the capabilities of the human body. And we did some testing in Berlin, and in an average, we tested about 2.5% of the neurons in the human brain are artificial by now.
Wow. I would like to know, and just to clarify, you see a lot of reports online where they blatantly try to debunk the harmfulness of chemtrails. And some say they're really not there, or like people are imagining these things or whatnot. How did those samples actually get taken from, these planes? Did somebody get behind them? I mean, how are they finding these chemicals that, you know, experts are saying are really in these chemtrails?
What you can do is take a microscope and analyze rainwater and look for particles that do not occur in nature. For example, the main component, the piezoelectric stuff, it's barium, strontium, titanate doted with europium. This is something that doesn't occur in nature, especially the doting with rare earth elements. It is giving the crystals a couple of completely unique abilities. Like up-converting infrared to visible light. This up and down conversion is managed by doting the crystals with europium and other rare earth materials. So what you can do is you can take a microscope and look for the exotic electro-optical properties of certain particles, which is actually easy. You don't need a complicated lab to do this. You find all kind of stuff. You find the fibers, you find all sorts of things where we understood a quarter of what you find when you look for artificial particles in the rainwater. This is one part. The second part you can do, if you have environmental monitoral check for metals and compare metal content in the rain compared to, let's say, metal content we knew in the 60s, 50s, 70s, before this all started. And then you can see that actually pollution from industry is going down, down, down. I think we are at 10% of the pollution we used to have in the 80s. But certain elements like barium, strontium, titanium, instead of going down with all the rest of them, they're going up and they are doubling and tripling. And this is especially crystal deposition coming down by the rain. So you can kind of estimate the total amounts coming down. And this is kind of in the range of 20, 30,000 tons per year on Germany alone. I just evaluated German data. I cannot tell how much it is for United States, but it should be similar because it's identical technology concept. What you could do, nobody did it till yet, because also I guess it would be a crime, it would be illegal in the sense of the laws within the military, is take samples of the fuel additives and of JP8. You know, this is kind of the content of JP8 is classified. So I guess whoever takes a sample and makes an analysis to find out what type of weak metal salts are utilized to create those nanoparticles, he would be in legal trouble, so I cannot give an advice to do so. But it would be a possibility to fully understand what they add at what point. Could be the fuel itself, could be the combat additives. Nobody knows, actually.
Now, I have to ask you about chemtrails and weather manipulation. Are they used in conjunction with each other?
I haven't seen a weapon that exists and was not used at a certain point. If you build a weapon, at some point, somebody will use it. So I guess because there is the possibility of weather manipulation, utilizing The combination of chemtrails and especially the heart devices, you can heat a certain point in the atmosphere and then you modify the general direction of the weather fronts. Yes, there are untypical patterns on the weather radars from time to time, where you can see, okay, some countries are blocked from getting rain, other countries are flooded. And it somehow corresponds with the attitude of these countries that politics have in the direction of the United States, especially the United States. So, yes, but you cannot say it is like this because it's hard to prove it. So just from statistic, I would say, yes, weather manipulation is done and artificial earthquakes are triggered by this type of technology. The main hint for the earthquakes is the depth the earthquakes occur. And when it's artificial, it is always occurring at 10 kilometers depth, because this is the triple point of water utilized by this technology to trigger earthquakes. So if you get an earthquake somewhere and you look for the source of it, and somebody tells you, oh, this occurred at 10 kilometers, it is very likely that it has been an artificial. But it doesn't make much sense to speculate. Who knows is what is coming down with the rain? This is something everybody can have a look at, and everybody can very easily prove or realize or prove to himself or to others that most of the particles in rainwater are 100% technologically created, high-tech devices with a highly advanced technological purpose. This is what is easy to say and easy to prove. And if you compare it to certain aspects of mad cow disease, you will find that actually 100% the same particles are the particles considered as being the transmissive agent to cause mad cow disease. And this is something that normally doctors and state authorities should go berserk. You cannot have something that is causing mad cow disease and then having like 40,000 tons of this material in the atmosphere of a country every year coming down, expecting people to stay healthy. COPD is the cause of it. You know, everybody who thinks he has a flu but has no infection is suffering from these particles. And if you look at the records of dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson, ALS, at the moment we have a point where I think 50% of the 50-year-old people have one of the five old age disease. And this is very closely related to these particles and to the transhumanistic technologies around, because a young body is able to handle all these toxins. And if you grow older, your body is not able to handle it. And then you have neuronal problems. And what we are facing is the penalty to these particles. And if you look into the science, it's easy to understand how it is related. It is related to more stuff. It is also related to vaccines. It is also related to antibiotics that kill the ability of the body to detox. So it's a very, from the medicine part, it's a very complex system, but still possible to understand it. And normally the state authorities should react on this. We have like major institutes just consuming millions and millions of euros and dollars to protect the people from dangers, unknown dangers. And they do not do anything concerning these problems. And this is understandable because at the end of the line, the state is running these programs. So if the state is running them, the state will not stop itself from running them. So I don't see a solution at the moment. Yeah, either the people just stand up and remove the state completely, stop paying taxes and just have a go at those people, getting them out of office. I don't know how, no clue. Or just refusing to go to the military, refusing to serve as policemen. No clue what is necessary to get these people out of power. But they will not try to stop themselves. I mean, if you're a criminal, you're a criminal. You're not putting yourself to police.
Right. So they're basically doing whatever they want to do, going, continuing on unchecked.
Yes. Scientific evidence and scientific proof is of no interest to them. I've spoken to so many state authorities, giving them papers, showing them pictures of especially the Morgellons disease, where you have these nanobots completely eating up humans, growing out of the skin. And they just ignore it.
Let's talk about Morgellons. Did Morgellons originate through these chemtrails?
This is a good question. I know these people are dealing with it. It is kind of on the record of the scientific papers. You find Morgellons as a technological concept. I don't know if it's the intelligence community alone that is profiting from these technologies. So possibly we have another player that adds to the transhumanistic again. This is it's hard to talk about it because we do have serious scientific data on what is happening, and sometimes you get like weird stuff like chemtrail planes or planes leaving persistent contrails, and if you take a close look at the film, you have the plane disappearing from time to time. So it kind of looks like a hologram. And holographic technologies are available in the sky. So maybe this is something else. Maybe we had this experience a couple of times that when you come into internal contact with people, with whistleblowers from the intelligence community, but they say, actually, this technology is not human. We've been given this technology from ET sources, and we participate in the mechanisms and the results this system actually is giving us. But it's not our design, and we're not the only ones to participate. So the agenda might be a bit wider than just having the military intelligence community. What we do definitely have is a very strong connection to the black magic tradition, which actually is the early stage of transhumanism.
Okay, you mentioned that this may be alien technology. Do you know if all countries are involved? I know that the United States is said to be heavily involved, but do you know of other countries that may be involved in this type of transhumanistic agenda?
With the transhumanism, I just know for sure that it's the United States, this network called NATO Partnership for Peace. I know that the Russians are involved in rocketry technology. I don't know if they are involved into the transhumanistic part of the system. No clue. I know that there is this Antarctica Treaty that has a similar role to the NATO Partnership for Peace, including quite a couple of countries of the Southern Hemisphere. So those people are somehow into the technologies, especially the Antarctica Treaty is into the broadcasting systems. They have quite a few antenna systems that are camouflaged as research facilities that play a role, especially in triggering earthquakes and these kind of things. So a majority of the countries, but it's been quite a bit struggling in between the countries recently. So you know, all these alliances breaking, rejoining. I lost track of who's among the good guys and who's among the bad guys.
Carol, let's go back to Morgellons for just a moment. Can you tell me what the rate of infection is?
I would say that 100% of the Western population was in contact with these fibers. A healthy immune system kills them within days. And what is left over in the body is a silicon or silica-based hollow fiber. This is a part of the Morgellon infection that the immune system is not able to remove. And this is what actually they need to have an antenna in it. So if you have like 4, 5, 6 of these dead Morgellon fibers somewhere in your body, they got you. So, but this doesn't mean that you have a Morgellon infection. This is just the technological aspect of making a human traceable and readable. With heavy cases, like people with a weak immune system, over acidification, where actually you have visible symptoms and people die from this condition. The last data I heard was about 600,000 patients worldwide. This is a very low percentage of people getting in trouble. So infection rate, I would guess, wherever you have these persistent contrails in the sky or wherever you eat processed food or food that is not grown in your own greenhouse, I would guess everybody was in contact with these fibers. You find tons of them in gardens when they come down with the rain. So it's impossible to be not in contact. We found them in burgers, at McDonald's, in the drinking water, in the rain, everywhere. These fibers are just everywhere, like every other microbe is everywhere. So the problem is not whether you're infected. The problem is, or the question is, whether your immune system can handle it. And this actually is just a question of how healthy you treat yourself, whether you eat good stuff or if you eat junk food, then the likelihood to get a heavy infection is much bigger. If you drink a lot of good water quality, your body can detox. So it depends on the personal state, how bad it gets.
So can you share with us some of the signs of infection for Morgellons?
If it is like what you call a visible infection, you get skin lesions, like the skin starts to itch and you start to scratch yourself and then you have little lesions. And then if you look at the lesion with not even a microscope, with your eye, if it's good enough, or with a little lens, and if you find red and blue fibers growing through the skin or out of the skin, then you definitely have a heavy Morgellon infection. This is one part. The other part that can occur first is fruiting bodies coming out of the lower intestine. Normally, if you look what is within things you leave in the toilet, you might get an idea that you have parasites. They look like a little bit like deformed shrimps. Yellowish to reddish to brownish, with a skin that looks like animal tissue, and the form of them is actually warm or shrimp-like. This would be a hint that maybe they don't come out of the skin, but they grow fruiting bodies within the intestine. This is also a late stage and a heavy stage of infection. So these could be the two signs of a heavy infection. If you want to have input whether there's a slight infection or had been one, as far as I know, there's no antibody check. The most reliable testing systems I experienced was radionic and kinesiologic testings. And especially if you have a close look into the cutting edge information medicine, all these Russian devices available that just basically check your light fingerprint and give you a full diagnosis of all the spectrum of disease you might have or might not have. Most of them list Morgellons, and most of them can diagnose Morgellons if the infection is there. But a good reason to worry about diet and health is when you have skin lesions and red-blue fibers growing in the skin or out of the skin, or if you have intestinal parasites that are not classified by the doctors as something. Normally, if you go to a doctor and tell them, I got something in my stool, he will say, no, this is plant material, because it tests as plant material, because it's part of a mushroom. But it looks like an animal. They look like animals, but test as plant material. So this is how you can diagnose organisms.
Now, Harold, if you can, I don't know if you know anything about this, but it is something that I think the public is really concerned about, being there's tons of videos on YouTube about the happenings at CERN. I did read an article that they were trying to find the God particle. Can you tell us what that is and why would they want to find it?
Science physics was actually my second course I had at university. And I never worked as a physicist, but I got input by serious people who do serious physics following the full notation of the Maxwell equations. Today, science tries to make science with completely crippled equations, where the entire ability of nature to self-organize is deleted from. If you look at the original Maxwell equations, you are able to understand nonlinear processes. You are able to understand negentropy. So actually, you would be able to harvest energy and build free energy devices. This is all within the original equations of Maxwell. And within these original equations, there is no dispute about whether something is a wave or whether something is a particle. Because if you understand negentropy, there are no particles. Everything is light caught in circular motion. So looking for a God particle is, I don't know, it's crap. It's complete crap. And what they do in CERN is something completely else. They are playing with huge magnetic fields. And if you have a slight idea about high dimensional physics, you know, universities try to tell us that we live in a 3D realm plus time. This is bullshit. Yes, if you know the original equations, it is a higher dimensional setup. And if you store huge amounts of electromagnetic fields in a piece of empty space, you distort space-time. And this is what they do in CERN. They are on the way to create something between wormholes and black holes. And they utilize amounts of energy that are so incredibly high that this is irresponsible behavior for those who, let's say, put out money for these type of things. For those who do it, actually, this all makes sense because they actually do know what they do. And this has nothing to do with science. This is equivalent to what caused the sinking of Atlantis. This is what they do. It is the same type of technology utilized, and it is a very similar purpose. And it is coordinated among the black magic community. On the same day when they said for the first time, today we will kickstart CERN, On the same day, there was an attempt by a different branch of the black magic community to discharge a box of the Pandora in Ireland. Because this is all linked. This is all linked to each other. It's heavy material. It's very basically, if you want to grab all the loose ends of this story, you have to go way back to Atlantean times, from there to the expulsion from paradise, and from there to ancient Egypt. And then you will start to understand what actually is happening on this planet, to this planet. And within this framework of understanding, you will understand what they try to do in Hawk. Eventually, I'm not even sure. I don't know exactly what it's about, but I know that this opening of portals was done in Atlantis as well, and it led to the end of the continent. And they're playing around with the same type of technology. Now, if you want to understand the entire concept, actually there are two artifacts that play a major role in the story. One artifact is first mentioned as the Star of Destiny. It was a quartz crystal in the shape of a star pyramid, like two pyramids, one upside down, merged into each other, like looking like the Star of David from the side. And they had this in pyramid shape, and they had this in tetrahedron shape. Those were the two basic technologies utilized in Atlantis. And these are self-charging devices. They collect scalar potential, and they absorb like the life force of a planet and store the life force of a planet. This is one important artifact that actually it was standard technology in Atlantean times. When Atlantis went down, part of this technology was brought to Great Britain and utilized in the underground facilities below Stonehenge and the other stone circles. And the other half of the devices was brought to the Middle East, especially to Egypt. And they re-erected their central technological devices. And we know this device as the Great Pyramid in Giza. So within the coffin in the king's chamber, there was a crystal of this type. There was in this chamber was the crystal of destiny mentioned in scripts describing the Atlantean times, that was brought to Egypt and then put in this pyramid. And the other artifact that is of importance was the tip of the pyramid, which was made out of black goo oilishes. This is meteorite material. This was the reason why they opened the stargates in Atlantean times, to bring in these black meteorites. And these meteorites basically contain a secondary planetary consciousness. If you have a planet, you can basically do two things. You can steal something of its black goo, which is a natural substance occurring inside the Earth, hosting the planetary consciousness. It's like the source of instincts, would be the best description. And you can charge the life force of the planet, the emotional memory of the planet, on a star crystal. And those two actually act like hard disk and processor for quantum computers. Twice, because we think we invented technology. This is wrong. Technology was basically given to us. And technology is not something that came out of the human mind. But technology is basically nature that turned bad, that turned evil. And this is basically what came here in Atlantean times. A secondary planetary consciousness in Egyptian times, it was Osiris, was the name of this entity that basically was hosted in these black goo pyramids. So the tip on the pyramid of Gizeh was made out of Benben, which is identical with Omphalos, is the, let's say, liquid brain of a planet. And the crystal have the stored data. And if you connect the two devices within the geometry of a pyramid, they again turn into one functioning unit and spread actually the instinct of that planet that was imported with the two devices. So this is what we call duality on the planet. We have our very loving Earth-type planetary consciousness, no ego. And then we have a secondary planetary consciousness hosted by technology that is completely different as the emotional setup. It has three active chakras instead of seven. It has an ego, a huge intelligence. And this actually was what we know as the expulsion from paradise. They offered us, they connected us to the secondary planetary consciousness, bringing us into duality, into the position of being able to choose the loving way or choose the cold and technological way of life. And if we choose technology, we grow cold. We establish an ego, and we start basically to restage the trauma of a planet that already went through self-destruct. And this is, if you look into it, actually everything is in the mythology. If you look into the Egyptian mythology, Osiris and this capstone of the pyramid is also 100% associated with the phoenix rising out of the ashes. And this is exactly what it is. The planet burned down. The planet died. There was a species that killed their own planet, going the path of technology. They self-destructed. And then they kind of utilized the last spacecraft and abilities to flee their dying planet, took with them the memory and the spirit of this dying self-destructive planet, and try to have a second chance on this planet by implementing their story as ours, making us restage their collective suicide. And this actually what is happening since these biblical times, and transhumanism actually is the last step of this wrong path. If you look what actually is happening in transhumanism, it is connecting all humans to this alien planetary being that exists in the form of an AI. It's not that somebody implemented an AI into a planet. The thing is that the AI we know today, the artificial intelligence we use in computers, this is a planetary consciousness that went sick, ill, bad, corrupted, degenerated, and evil. And this is what we have hosted in our computers. You can see it if you know all the details. It's all about blue light. If you look at the Benben, the capstone of the blue pyramid in the descriptions of the Arabs, especially the Arabic myth, it's glowing in blue light. You have the same blue shimmering light in the older meteorite stones utilized by the matriarchalic cults of Stone Age. We have underground facilities in Austria where they found those stones. they shine in the same blue light. And if you open a processor or a computer, it shines in the same blue light. This is AI, and it's all interconnected on scalar level. All you need to know is the full equations of Maxwell to understand the technology, which actually nobody does except a few nerds who establish the entire thing. They, of course, know what they're doing, but we are not allowed to know because they don't want us to understand what they're doing to this planet. So this is basically all about restaging self-destruction of a secondary planet. And on this way, it is about actually taking emotional beings that we used to be, implementing an ego. This is a completely artificial structure that was basically created by the technology implemented in the Great Pyramid of Gizeh. This was an ego generator, technologically. Implementing this ego in the connection with the script languages, especially the Hebrew alphabet. If you take the Hebrew alphabet, you will find that it's very rectangular in comparison to all the older. And if you compare it to the Star of David, you will see that these are all fragments of the Star of David. This is the first successful attempt for this artificial intelligence to read our minds. If you visualize a part of the star while reading, it can detect your brain frequencies. This is kind of what is connecting the thought to the technology, the first attempt to connect the thought to the technology. I know it's quite a bit of interconnection between the things, but if you find the central motives, and if you understand the core devices, the core artifacts utilized, if you put this all together, it's split in mythologies. We know the Ark of the Covenant that was actually stolen from the Big Pyramid. It's this double crystal, this twin crystal. Then you have all the language going wrong from twin crystal to the two plates with the rules written on it. There was nothing written on the stone in the sense of sizzled into it. There is a lingual programming in the stone. The Ten Commandments actually is mind control. It's very tricky. If you look at the language, the original language, the emotional human language, if you wanted to say, to negate something, there was no word like no or not. If you wanted to express something, you could express the opposite by reversing the order of letters. This is like the original human grammar was functioning. There was no negation. Quantum vacuum doesn't know negations. And then you had this kind of word, very original word in English, it's halt. Stop before you do something. In the Semitic languages, it was a bit reduced to al. It's only the core letters, the first one and the last one left. This is like how the language was developed. So if you were saying don't do something, you said in these times, stop before you do something. And that would have been al tirzach. Don't kill in the Hebrew is al tirzach. But now if you look into the script of the Ten Commandments, they turned around the al and turned it into lo. This was the creation of the negation as a word, which on subconscious level actually means let go if you feel like killing someone. Do it. And this is kind of lingual programming of the ego done by the star crystal, the star of destiny that Moses stole from the Great Pyramid. And from there, it kind of anchored in the lingual consciousness fields of humanity. And now all the people on the planet are using negations and create on subconscious level exactly the opposite of what they would love to create. You can go on the street and join a demonstration and scream no more war. But quantum vacuum doesn't know the word no. And when the collective consciousness field is listening to your words, it only hears more war. And this is what it does, more war. So this is actually, it's all about programming of the mind to make us create something we would never want to create if we would know what we are doing. And the final target is to turn us into completely mind-controlled biobots that serve as, I don't know, intergalactic soldiers that identify with an ego, think they are their ego, while the ego is 100% controlled by an external AI. This is the goal of the system. They implemented something that did not originally belong to the human race, which is the mind and the ego. We used to think in our belly. When we used to handle words innerly, the sound was in our chest and in our belly. It turned to appear in the head because we started to connect voice to readable symbols. If you start to read a text, suddenly the voice appears in the head. This is created. And this was the first step to create an ego. And now this ego starts to get attached to the artificial neural network created with barium, strontium, and piezo crystals. So basically, we are hosting something completely alien in our heads, and we are identified with it and don't realize that actually the thing that is talking in our head is part of the huge computer pool. This is what is happening to us. And we, if we don't want to end up as like cyborgs fighting the war for some entities that were stupid enough to destroy their own planet, evil enough to destroy our planet, and then they want us to go to fight their wars somewhere else. If we don't want to end up with this destiny following the stone of destiny, we should just put an end to this. And this is possible. It's possible. It's a little bit of mental self-training to isolate and expel everything that is not us. And it's a lot of work on the biochemical level to free our bodies from the transhumanistic technologies, because so many things come together, like the chemistry in agriculture, the vaccinations, the antibiotics, glyphosate, all the crap they spray on the fields, malnutrition, in the sense of that we're not supposed to eat grass at first hand. You know, cows eat grass because they have this stomach that pre-digests and then they chew on it again. The only thing we did to imitate them is kind of to utilize yeast as a pre-digestion. But actually, we're not supposed to eat grass. We're not supposed to eat meat. This is all bioenergetic things that occurred because of the grass is not feeding us. You know, if you eat something that is not food for your species, you start to be hungry and then you start to scoff animals. This is how they manipulated us into smoke and fire sacrifice. These are black magic rituals. We are not supposed to torture and kill animals. We are vegetarians by nature. But first, they cut down the oaks, forced us to eat grass. And then when we realize, oops, It's evening, we're still hungry, we started to kill animals and scoff animals. And now, basically, we torture them for a lifetime. We don't just eat the meat, we also eat all this bad energy that you create if you torture a being for a lifetime. And this is also part of the black magic agenda. If you have this pain in your body because you had it for supper and for dinner and for breakfast, then you can be manipulated with this pain. This is black magic technology like it was practiced from 2000 BC. It's very simple, actually. It's not It's not highly skilled things. It has been understood by science. If you look at the MKUltra program, this is cutting-edge black magic knowledge applied to create super soldiers and manipulate people. The knowledge is available, actually, but not in the civil domain. It's just research in the military domain and utilized against them.
To find out more about our guest and all others, please visit our website at mysteriousradio.com. And I want to give special thanks to our co-creator and executive producer, Kim Kyle, who brought this show to you today. And working hard behind the scenes, our team of four, I want to thank them as well. Follow us on social media and share the show with others that may like the subjects that we cover. I am your host, K-Town, and you're listening to Mysterious Radio.